blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 236. Stanzas 1 and 2, by all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless, thy works abide, for thou art God. 1 and 2 of 236.
Further, we wish to read out of God's holy word from the book of Deuteronomy, thereof chapter 10, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy 10. At that time the Lord said unto me, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gadgoda, and from Gadgoda to Jotbath, a land of rivers of waters. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And I stayed in the mount, according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not person, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, Thou art a Spirit, and Thou art everywhere, and Thou knowest the inmost recesses of each and every one of our hearts. Thou dost say that we are to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts, or that we are to love and to fear and to serve Thee and to keep all Thy commandments. They ought not to be a burden unto us. That ought to be to us the greatest pleasure of our hearts and of our lives. But Thou knowest who and what we are. O Lord, who is able from our own selves to do these things that Thou requirest of us. And though it all flows out of Thy great goodness, and that Thou givest unto us food and drink and raiment, then we yet cannot give that our hearts would love Thee. Oh, it is all a testimony of the great depth of our fall. Oh, we beseech Thee, O Lord God of heaven and of earth, and that Thou wouldest draw us, then we will run after Thee as Thy servant did write, draw me. We will run after Thee, oh, that Thou may give then a conversion to the minister, and to the elders, and to the deacons, and to the organists, and to the teachers, all the parents, the fathers and mothers that do stand before the children. Oh, then we are all dependent upon Thee, O Lord. We beseech Thee that Thou wouldst move our hearts with Thy Holy Spirit, which is almighty and which is all-powerful, that is of much greater power than all of our human and earthly and fleshly and sinful resistance against Thee. The enmity that lives in our hearts to all that is spiritual, that is of Thee. Oh, Thou art able to break it in one moment. We beseech Thee, O Lord, that Thou mightest look upon us in this hour, the hour we have come up again unto Thy holy house of prayer. We can read it in Thy holy word, that Thou didst not leave an hoof behind in the land of Israel, even of the cattle. And then certainly all of Thy people, Thou didst bring them out, and Lord, Thou wilt bring out each and every one of Thy own. O Lord, we beseech Thee, that there wouldst not be left an hoof behind also of us and of our children. For Thou art almighty, Thou art all-powerful, and Thou bringest us under the means, each and every one of us. And Thou hast called and sent us to this work and to this place, and Thou knowest that we do not know how to go about our labors. We do not know what to say. And that men may be awakened out of death sleep and be brought into Thy marvelous light and life, that life eternal. Oh, we cannot say anything from ourselves that is able to awaken a dead soul, because it is not by moral suasion, but it is by the most powerful, mighty work of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou dost give life unto the dead, dry bones, that thy servant was commanded to preach unto, and then we can read, behold, they were very dry. O Lord, thou knowest the dryness, and thou knowest the impossibility. Oh, that thou may come over for us as a congregation, as families, as parents. Oh, come over, Lord, and do as thou dost please, and could it please thee. Oh, that it might be in thy good favor, in thy decree. In thy decree of election, that we and our children may be included therein. Oh, we do not deserve it, but thy dear son, oh, does he not deserve all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for that great work which he has accomplished upon that cursed tree, oh, to give himself. Oh, what man would do so but thy eternal love for thy church. That was so great that thou wast willing even to come and to dwell amidst us, our sinful beings, with thy holy being, and to be in the midst of us, and to bear the great punishment for thy own church. O Lord, thou art worthy of all the honor and of all the glory and of all the praise. Oh, could it be that it may truly come out of the heart of each and every one of us, young and old. Our life is a short one, O Lord. The time is so short. And we go, each one of us, to our long home. And we know not the days of our life anymore. Oh, that thou mayest remember us, both young and old, children, parents, and all of us together. Wilt thou supply for the needs also of all those that mourn in the day of tomorrow? Then is a day of remembrance those that have fallen in the wars. Lord, thou knowest that it is taking place still day by day all over this world. Oh, that thou may remember all those that mourn also in the midst of us. Those that mourn over the loss of loved one in the Netherlands. Oh, that thou thyself may be on the right and on the left also in distance. Is far, but that thou may supply for them and care for all the lonely ones, the widows of the congregation be on their right and on their left hand day by day, and those that have become old, where all of the cares of the body and of the mind do increase, that thou may look upon each and every one, look upon the children who are sick, and because there are many of them at this time, Lord, that thou may supply in the midst of those families, and wilt thou heal them, and all those that do receive treatments also, in the week to come, for mind or for body, wilt thou care for each and every one. Lord, remember our schools. Thou knowest the great need of teachers, those who may stand before our students day by day. Wilt thou thyself bind it upon the hearts of our young people, that they may have a desire to join themselves to this most important work that is for the future of our families, the future of our denomination also, that the prince of darkness may not have the power to spread his lies and his deceit amongst the future generation. O Lord, could it please thee to give especially young men to consider this occupation. For thou knowest the predicament of our schools increasingly in the years that are going by, that thou may supply for us in the future. Remember the nations wherein we dwell. Oh, we may acknowledge thee when we have besought thee time and again. Oh, Lord, humble us under thy goodness. Oh, that thou may help going forward, and that thou may remember all those that are called to these high offices, wherein they have so much influence upon others in this world. Oh, that thou dost call them to such a place that is a calling of thee, we read in thy word, because thou dost set up one and thou dost put down another. Oh, that thou may give them help then, and will thou with thy Holy Spirit influence them and influence all the citizens of our countries, and that we may have a desire to return to thy law and to thy testimonies. Lord, wilt thou care for us in this hour? Oh, that thou may remember us when we are gathered round about thy holy word of truth. Oh, we cannot bring it in our own heart, and we cannot bring it in the heart of anyone else, but we are dependent upon thy grace and thy mercy to work amongst us undeservedly. Oh, may it be feelingly, and may it be believingly in the hearts of thy children, in the hearts also of the unconverted. Take thou us then by heart and by hand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all-faithful, our Father's God, give ear. And what follows, Psalter 228, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, God is a spirit. That is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is unto a woman in this world who was inquiring after the true worship. There is not a person in this whole world and that ought not to have a serious interest in this testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the conscience of every single person in this whole world does know that it must worship, thus to seek and to know whom he must worship is of great consequence to every single soul that is in this world. Of course, by nature, we do easily squelch the speakings of our conscience, but that naturally does change in the day of regeneration, because that new life seeks for worship that is true, that is actually the very nature of that new life. The brute seeks to fulfill his animal nature. The carnal man, he seeks to fulfill his carnal nature. But now the new man, he seeks to fulfill his spiritual nature. And that is now also the requirement of the Lord, as we read in the words of our text, in the worship of himself, John 4. John 4, verse 24, and thereof the second part. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So far, the words of our text. The required worship of God. First, what it is not. And second, what it is. The required worship of God, what it is not and what it is. Thus, first, what it is not. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. That is something. Ye worship, ye know not what. Maybe we should just stop here for a moment and to ask ourselves whether that we know what we worship. Because God is a spirit and Christ is God. Thus Christ knows whether we know what we worship. Thus what is his judgment of us concerning our knowledge of what we worship? Because truly, if we worship what we know not, then certainly we do not worship. Then we have no worship, not with all our religion. No, then it is actually vanity, isn't it? And then it is actually even sin. Woman, believe me. That is also something that he says, woman, believe me. That Christ should have to say such a thing unto this woman. We do not say that. When we speak, we just speak. Right, young people? We do not say before we speak, believe me. But when we speak, then we are expecting that the person that is hearing what we say would believe us. Say, sometimes maybe we do say it, believe me. When is that? Well, you say that is maybe when we think that there is reason that the other person will not believe me. That is not so easy, is it? When we will say the truth, right, children, if you will say the truth and someone does not believe you, that is not so easy, is it? That is part of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Because as he brought the truth everywhere that he went, then he had to experience over and over again that he was not believed. Do you believe him? Do you believe his word? Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Why does the Lord Jesus say that? Because this woman has asked this. Thus it is an answer to her question. And she is asking about the right way. She is asking what is now that true worship. Is it this way or is it that way? And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, woman, you are wrong. You are wrong altogether. And why are you wrong altogether? Because, he says, your thoughts about worship are carnal. And he says, God is a spirit. You say, who is this woman? This woman is a Samaritan. And who are the Samaritans, children? You learned that, I think, in school or from your mother and father. So the Samaritans, you know, when the children of Israel sinned against the Lord, that the Lord punished them. We are all punished because of our sins, right? And then they were taken far away into a foreign country. But we know that there were some, the poor of the land, that were left. And then that foreign king, he decided that he was going to send foreigners to live among the children of Israel. And when they came there among the children of Israel, well, young people, then those young boys, those young girls, young men, young women, they have intermingled with each other. They have married one another. These are the Samaritans. And when Israel returned to their own land, and we know then they have rebuilt the temple of the Lord, then instead of the Samaritans saying, well, we need to go up now unto Jerusalem, unto the temple of the Lord, they said, no, we will remain worshiping in Mount Gerizim, where we have been doing this. And thus, this woman says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She says that has already been for many years. But now that remained a continual point of contention between these Samaritans. They were, we would say, a half of the Jewish race, nation, and half of the nations of this world. Ye worship, ye know not what. That is now the contention that the Lord Jesus has with the Samaritans, because those Samaritans boasted of their Jewish heritage, but they have long left the Jewish truth, the truth that the Lord had given unto the Jewish people. Oh, will we learn something from this, young people? When you look about you and you say, what is now the way that I will go through this world? And with whom will I go through this world in my life? This young man, that young woman, and then maybe we are looking elsewhere. We are looking outside of our own circles, outside of those who are brought up under the truth. And that is a very dangerous thing. And why is that such a dangerous thing? What do we read here? Ye know not what ye worship. And that is now often the case. And when we are taking someone out of this world, and when we are joining ourselves to them in that holy bond of matrimony, oh, then it is often the case that the children and the grandchildren know not what they worship. Be careful. Oh, you say, are we better than those people? Oh, no, we are worse. We are worse. There are people of the world that do look about upon us as congregations, as members of our denomination. And they say, now this is what that people profess. But when I look at their life, then their life is worse in this world than our life. Oh, is that so? Oh, what a blot upon the name of the Lord. What a blot on the name of the truth. Are we better? We are far worse. Because we know better. And yet on the other hand, marriage is not mission work. Thus, it is not that we may say, well, if I marry him, if I marry her, I will bring them under the truth, and therefore I am doing a good thing. No. No, it is a good thing to bring them under the truth. But they must come under that truth first. And then they will need time, and they will need instruction, and they will need to join themselves to that truth. Before that you may even think about joining yourselves to them in the way of dating, in the way of marriage. Thus there is an order, a God-given order. Why? Because you cannot place two conflicting beliefs upon one pillow. Oh, that does not work. What happens? What happens? Ye worship, ye know not what. That is an awful thing, is it not? Because the Lord Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. And that is true. That was the Lord's people. And that is the people whom he had given his truth to. And now to worship what we do not know, just think about what that means a moment. That we are trying and we are thinking and we are relieving our conscience, which tells us that we must worship. But we are with this relief going over the world and yet miss the truth, because we worship what we do not know. And yet the Lord Jesus, he does not say to her, Jerusalem is now the place where men ought to worship. You say, well, why not? Is that not so? that Jerusalem was the place that they must worship? Yes, in that time that was so. But the Lord Jesus says this time is quickly coming to an end. That a great change, he says, is approaching. The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. What does the Lord Jesus here condemn? He condemns the carnal nature of this entire controversy. He says it has nothing at all to do with the truth. That Samaritan worship, yes, that is unlawful. But now the Jewish worship, though that is the lawful, though that is the right worship, that is a manner of worship that is now soon coming to an end. Was that instituted by God? Indeed it was. It was instituted by him with all of the carnal ordinances, also of that Old Testament time. But it was not instituted with those carnal ordinances in order that it may degenerate into something which was never intended, to degenerate into something which it has indeed degenerated into. This, he says, is not true worship, because he says God is a spirit. And if God is a spirit, what is all that is carnal? What is now all that is carnal to him? And thus he says now what that true worship required by God is. In our second thought, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He doesn't say they may do that. No, he says they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God has a right to dictate how the worship of him is to be accomplished in this world. He can say that it must be this way, or that it must be that way. That is what he has done unto Moses. And he has laid out for the children of Israel specifically just how that they were to accomplish all the ceremonial laws. It was very important. And it was very important that they did not deviate from the way that the Lord had instructed them. And why was that so important? Well, because those laws and that entire ceremonial institution, that was a picture. It was a picture of something that was not carnal. And thus the Lord was extremely insistent on all the particular details that Moses must teach the children of Israel. And the Lord, because he is God and he is the one that is to be worshipped, he has the right and he has the freedom to make whatever changes in worship that he desires and whatever time that he desires. But there is something that he has never changed. There is something that he is not able to change. And what is that? That is the spiritual nature of that worship that he requires, that has always been required. That was not only, that is not something new. No, that is something that was already in the Old Testament, even under the carnal administration of that word of God. And now, he says, now when that ceremonial worship is soon to be abolished, yea, the time cometh, it yea, that time is now, he says, the manner is going to be changed, then that spiritual requirement that is not changed. No, as a matter of fact, it is even more. That spiritual part that is now going to come in the foreground, when the carnal part is now going to pass away, then it is the spiritual part that is now going to be brought forward. Never on earth will the carnal part of the worship of man disappear completely. That is not possible. It is necessary for us to have a public worship service. It is necessary to have carnal ordinances yet. And why is that? Well, it is because of our nature. It is because that we are not only spirit, but we are a natural man. We are also a carnal man. We live in the midst of this world. And therefore the necessity of these carnal things to continue. But in every carnal part, whether it is public or whether it is private, everyone, every piece of that carnal part is there to serve that which is spiritual. That is why, boys and girls, then when we have a custom, right? We fold our hands and we close our eyes and we are reverent when we pray. You say, why? Is that now necessary to fold our hands? Is it necessary to close our eyes? Why do we do that? Well, that is not necessary for the Lord. No. Because God is a spirit. But that is an help to us. Because that is an help to aid that we worship in spirit. That is to close our eyes from everything that is around us, from everything that is carnal, and with our hands folded, that means that we are not able to do anything. With our hands, as our soul, as our heart does pray unto God, that we see nothing else, that we do nothing else, that is the reason that we have such a practice when we pray. But is that prayer? Is that now enough? That we fold our hands and that we close our eyes. Have we then prayed? Or you say, no, that is now not enough. Because that in itself is not prayer. That in itself is not worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now why is that? It is because every nature finds affinity in the things that are like itself. Thus, does your carnal heart delight in that which is spiritual? Will you think about that for a moment, young people? Does your carnal heart delight in spiritual things? You say, it does not, does it? My carnal heart,
that delights in everything that is carnal. Well, neither does the spiritual, that which is spiritual, does also not delight in the things that are carnal. Because those are two different natures. That is the reason that we read here that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Who are they? Such. Well, that is to those who are spiritual. Because that is the only communion that the Father can have. Not a carnal communion. But the Father can only have a spiritual communion. Thus the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Our eyes have nothing on sound. We cannot see the sound. Our ears have nothing on light because we cannot hear that light. Thus, these are two different natures. Our ears are oblivious to light, and our eyes are oblivious to sound. They are not like one another in their nature. They do not receive one another. Everything that is carnal in this world, that is as unaffecting to God, as light is unaffecting to our ears. Everything that is carnal in this world is as unaffecting to God, who is a spirit, as sound to our eyes. God is a spirit. Man looketh on the outward part. God looketh upon the heart. Oh, you say, well, then the outward things do not matter. Oh, no. We do not say that. Those outward things matter also. They matter very much to us. And why? Well, for example, customs are a help to our spirit. And we need that help often, do we not? That is why we have them, to help us. But there is also that the outward things are not only in help to the Spirit, but they are a manifestation of the Spirit. They are a declaration, they are a testimony to the whole world. What that spirit is, because man cannot see that spirit. Does the Lord need the testimony outward? He does not need it. Does not need it. Why not? He sees right through it. He is a spirit. He sees right into our heart. And when the outward part is not the same as the inward part. Is that so in us? Oh, who cannot find hypocrisy inside? When that outward part is not the same as the inward part in us, he knows that too. He sees it too. He knows it for bad, and he knows it for good. Because when Ananias and Sapphira had evil in their heart and would make that seem good outwardly, oh, what did the Lord judge? He judged the evil that was in their heart. He knew it. He saw it. And on the other hand, when Peter sinned against the Lord, and that looked from the outside so, so awful, was a terrible thing. And yet, oh, the inside, that was not the same as it looked on the outside. And the Lord knew that too. Let us sing 163, stanzas 2 and 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. In thee my soul is satisfied. My darkness turns to light, and joyful meditations fill the watches of the night. 2 and 3 of 163.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, it is no worship. Thus, the spiritual nature of God himself, God is a spirit, dictates what the nature of worship must be. And that is why the nature of that worship, also from the Old Testament to the New Testament, can never change. Why not? Because God's nature never changes. It is the excellency of that nature of God that he is simple, pure spirit that is requiring that the noblest part that is in man, that is the spirit of man, that is not the carnal part in the first place, but the spiritual part in the first place, that is requiring that noblest part of man to worship him, to subject himself unto him. Thus, what does the Lord say? He says, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Not just your body. Your body too. Your whole life. The Lord Jesus, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Two men. But he says, only one worshipped me. Only one. You understand that, right, young people? Oh, and it was just the opposite, maybe, that appeared on the outside to everyone else that was in that temple. Oh, the day of judgment. That is going to be a surprising day. A very surprising day. Why? Because God is a spirit and we cannot look into the heart of a man. But the Lord knows the spirits through worship. That is a reverential acknowledgement in our soul of God. Wherein the soul is honoring, giving honor unto God. Wherein the soul is lying prostrate before God. That acknowledges him as sovereign. Acknowledges him as Lord. And that submits itself to whatever his will is. When Rebecca said, drink, Lord, and I will rise and give drink to thy camels also. Then Eliezer, we read, he bowed down his head and worshipped. He marveled. Why did he marvel? Oh, he marveled at the goodness of the Lord upon his master. Oh, then you can be sure the supplications, they went up from the heart of that man unto the Lord, that the Lord would prosper his way for his master's sake. And when he did come unto that well, oh, to see and to feel the nearness, the hand of the Lord, and how that the Lord was guiding his way, and then to feel how near and how good that the Lord is. Oh, then he bowed his head, yes, but he bowed also his heart, and he marveled at that goodness of the Lord.
Did you ever worship? Did you ever worship? 10 lepers cried unto the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he did have mercy on them, but only one returned. Only one returned, and he fell on his face, and he gave praise unto the Lord. And he was, we read, a Samaritan. And he worshiped the Lord, yes, with his body, but he worshiped the Lord in his heart. Oh, what was that worship? Oh, he magnified him. His heart magnified him. Oh, he says, such a one as I am. Then he said he could understand that the Lord has looked upon all the other 9, but there is no one among all the lepers that are here that is as I am, and that has now caused his soul to bow before the Lord and to worship him in his soul, in his spirit. God is a spirit. The centurion, he says, oh Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Oh, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What was that? He was not bowing down. No one could see it, but that man, he was worshiping him. He was worshiping him. The estimation that he had in his soul of who that the Lord Jesus Christ was, that was very, very high. And that no man could see around him that the soul of that man was bowing unto the ground, but the Lord saw it. The Lord knew it, because God is a spirit. By Isaiah, the Lord said to Israel, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Why? Because it lacked the most important thing. It lacked all spirituality. It lacked their soul. He says it is only carnal. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who has required this of you? Did I require that of you? He says, no one to come in such a way. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, we can lay before the Lord as ministers, elders, fathers, teachers. Oh, may be a very well-ordered prayer. Maybe. Because the Lord gives the gift to some. It is a gift. And it is also an important gift. If we will have to lead others in prayer. But. Does our soul pray? Does the Lord hear it? Because it is not the well-orderliness of our prayer that he hears. No, and Israel cried unto the Lord in their bondage. Then that prayer came up unto heaven. Why? Because God is a spirit. Singing, that is good. That is proper. And I must say here, it is so beautiful. Oh, how I love to listen. But does the Lord hear it? Does the Lord hear it? Do we sing in prayer and in praise? Do we sing with our soul? Because otherwise, what is it? Oh, it is good as an help to man. It is good as an help to the spirit of man, to the souls of men. That is good. But it is not in itself worship. What was Cain's offering to the Lord? Oh, it was rejected by the Lord. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, congregation, where is He going to find them? When the Father is seeking such to worship Him. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. Is He going to find them here? Is He going to find them in Fort McLeod? Or maybe you say, oh, if only. If only I could. If only I could worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, you see, sometimes I feel more it to be impossible than for a dead carcass to move. I feel it. Is that so? Do you feel it? Does a dead carcass feel? Or does feeling belong unto life? Oh, you say, temporary faith, that is feeling too, you are right. It's what you are afraid of, right? That it would not be true worship. Oh, you say, what if my feelings, what if my desires, they are not true? What if it is all from myself? That is a good question. And that is why we must examine ourselves, and that continually. But temporary faith, or Orpah wept. She wept. But she did not weep after God. And that became evident eventually. She wept for a little while. And then she went back. And thus we have that trial, when the Lord is trying it, and when His work He is upholding, and then it is going on, and thus that people cannot know it right away. Oh, they have not assurance right away, young people, now. No, the Lord is bringing His work through the fire. The Lord tries it as silver is tried. Oh, He will make a man to know from what he is delivered. And He will make a man to know who delivers him. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. All these affections, They do not live in us, do they? Must you say that too? They just do not live in me. And can you put them there? Then put them there, young people. Say, how can I put them there? I don't have them. That is good to be honest. That is good to be honest. And now I ask you this question, if you feel that. What is all that Arminian doctrine to you that says you have an ability, even if it's by common grace, you have it. When you feel and you experience that you do not have it. Not a single spiritual desire. It is all deadness. What is now that doctrine to you? It is hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. And what is now the only hope for the dead? That you may feel in your heart, if that is now the Lord's work, that you will feel and experience in your heart what is now the only hope. All the only hope is that the Lord would do it. Do you see what a beggar that the Lord makes out of his people? Out of his church. Do you see the place that the Lord is bringing his people? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, a new heart will I give unto you. He says, I will put my spirit into you. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Does that now draw out something in your heart? Is your heart weeping? Do you say, Lord, that is what I need. That is what I need. That is my only hope. Because otherwise, I know not what I worship. He that cometh to God, Paul says, must believe that he is. That he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thus, we cannot come to him unless we believe he is. And that when we cannot see him, we cannot see him, children. But do you believe that he is? And that God is a spirit? Because by nature we are just carnal. And then we will never come unto God. Because he is spirit. And we have no spiritual life. Our heart has no affinity for that nature. That spiritual nature of God. And now in that new birth. That all changes because the Lord, he gives his spirit, and now there is hunger, now there is thirst, and that is now coming from the bottom of the heart of that people, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, my soul thirsteth for God, the living God. Does your soul thirst for God? For that living God, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, you see, is it not understandable that we read in the Word of God that it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth? What do we do with our most holy duties? What did Israel do with the entire ceremonial law that was given to them as an help to the Spirit? They made an end out of it. They made an end out of it. Oh, they worshipped, as it were, the carnal part. And us, do we do the same? With all our worship and with all our customs, which are not for God, but they are for us, to help us. But have we ended in them? Have we ended in them? And do we come and go from the place of the holy all our life long, thinking that we worship God when actually we know not what we worship? Oh, may the Lord break our heart. May the Lord break our heart with these thoughts for the first time, but also by renewal, because God is a spirit. And the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. Oh, will you go from this place with a broken spirit? Because we do not worship God as he ought to be worshipped. And because we have done with the ordinances what we ought not to do with his ordinances, or if our spirit may be broken, all then we begin to worship. And then we will be received, because a broken and a contrite heart, thou, O God, will not despise. Amen. Oh Lord, it is but a few words. We cannot convince a man. But we beseech thee that thou wouldst take these few little words and bring them into our hearts for the first or by renewal, and give our hearts to break as we go away from this thy house of prayer, or that we might learn to worship for the first time in our life, to forgive all of our many, many sins, also what we have done with our own religion, or that we may be washed and cleansed in the blood of thy dear and only begotten Son, who is so worthy to be feared, and whose blood is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness unto the house of Israel. Do dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us in this week, in all the labors of our hands, each one in our place. Wilt thou be with those that mourn? Remember those who must travel. Be with those in the home and by the way. And wilt thou keep us wherever that our way does lead us in this world, and give us life, spiritual life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 203, 1 through 5. in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. 1 through 5 of 203.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.